welcome you to this worship service of Calvary Lutheran Church for the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, August 9th, 2020. Thank you for joining us for this podcast. We hope you enjoy it. By way of announcements today, we have one prayer update, and that is prayers of thanksgiving and for continued healing for Wolfgang Schultz, who is the brother-in-law of Sally Schultz. He underwent a heart bypass surgery this past week, and so we want to continue to remember him in our prayers. Our mission of the month, for which more and more information will be forthcoming for those of you through our Calvary Connections, and that is going to be directed toward Opportunity International, a longtime mission partner of Calvary Lutheran Church and our Mission and Outreach Committee. Opportunity International, that is, focuses its efforts on economic development, particularly in countries where such opportunities are hard to come by, financing opportunities for people who wish to start up small businesses or improve their financial situation in life are often hard-pressed to find those kinds of microloans, and Opportunity International is a well-recognized partner and leader in that effort around the world, and theirs is a mission worth supporting. So we commend that to you and ask you to make a generous response in this month of August. Most of you are listening to this podcast at home, but we wanted to relay to you the situation for our on-site worship services as well, in case that might become an option for you down the line. As many of you know, our state is now under a mandatory mask mandate for all public buildings and gatherings, and while our on-site worship services have enjoyed masking of nearly all of our members, we now recognize that that is the requirement in our churches. But we also want to point out to those of you that the order also includes a medical exception if you find it difficult to breathe or for any other medical reason, which is entirely your determination, that it is impractical or inadvisable for you to mask during our on-site worship services. Please know that you are under the order, as well as under Calvary Lutheran's understanding of that order, welcome to join us for those on-site worship services. We just wanted to clarify that so that no one was in the dark about what our policy will be, at least for the duration of the order through the end of September. Such are our announcements for this weekend's worship service, and now let us begin our worship of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please now take a few moments for silent reflection. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you. Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, come through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. In life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns. Calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stay.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, in the midst of the storms of life, Christ's presence brings eternal peace and calms our fears. Grant us peace through Scripture and through the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Then send us forth to be signs of Christ's peace in the world, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson is from Job chapter 38. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone, while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no farther, here is where you proud waves halt. Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken. Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been shown to you? Have you seen the gates of the deepest darkness? Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth. Tell me if you know all this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6 responsively. I love you, Lord, my strength.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies.
The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me.
The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me.
In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears.
Our second lesson is from Romans chapter 10. Moses writes about the righteousness that is by law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
All right. Good morning, everyone. It is Natalie back again. Now, if you were listening to the gospel story today, you might have thought it sounded a little familiar. This is about my buddy Peter and his walk on the water. Now, I don't know if any of you did this as a kid, but one thing that I always try to do with my friends is run as fast as I can over the pool to try and walk on the water. Now, it didn't always work out for me, but Peter actually managed to do it. So him and all of his friends, they were on the boat. It was a big storm. The waves were crashing. It was raining. There was thunder. And all of a sudden, they see this figure out on the water. They're like, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. This is crazy. But then they realize it's actually Jesus. He's walking on the water. So then Peter was like, if that's you, then tell me to come out with you on the water. So Jesus said, come to me. So Peter got out of the boat and was able to walk on the water. But one thing that was not so good for Peter is he looked down and he got scared and he had doubt in Jesus and he started to sink. Thankfully, Jesus was there and he came and helped him. And I always think of the story that when I'm going through dark times, I need to trust Jesus because he will help me overcome them and walk on the water and be there with him. So I want you guys to remember that if you're going through some dark times or things aren't really going your way and you're having some doubts, remember to keep your faith in Jesus because he will hold out his hand and help you up and help you walk on the water with him. Now we're going to have a Pray After Natalie prayer. Dear God, thank you for this wonderful week. Please help us to have faith in you. And help us do incredible things. In your name we pray and play. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I have never been caught in a windstorm of any kind, but one of my older brothers who lives on the coast of South Florida is a bit more familiar with them. He keeps a keen eye on weather reports when storms are threatening the eastern coast. Even with remarkable technological advancements, these storms can often still be unpredictably destructive, fear-inducing, and out of the control of even the most skilled meteorologists. In our readings for today, we have two storm stories, one from Job 38 and the other from Matthew 14. Long before technology could predict these storms were on the horizon, we are brought into the midst of intense, whirling winds threatening the lives of God's children. We hear of Job and the disciples caught in these dark storms where their faith contends with doubt and fear. With the psalmist, Job and Christ's disciples could in all truth say, "The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me." And in both stories, we hear of God coming to them, encountering them with his steady voice as he revealed himself as creator of heaven and earth and as their merciful savior. Our Old Testament lesson brings us into the story of Job, though near the very end of it. Job's was a life marked by significant tragedy. We are told in the beginning of the book he was an upright man who feared God and turned away from evil. Yet he was stripped of his home, his children, his possessions, his health, and even his sanity. He was demonized by the friends who were supposed to be closest to him and scorned by his own wife. And to add to the continuous whirlwind thrusting him further downward toward despair, Job was falsely told by his friends that these horrible circumstances which had befallen him were his own fault. The punishment must fit the crime must have been a proverbial favorite of Job's would-be friends, for they determined that Job's suffering must have been brought about by grave sin to warrant such punishment from Almighty God. And so goes the tumultuous storm of Job's life. Just after a mighty wind had struck and destroyed Job's house and his sons and daughters who were feasting in it, he uttered these chilling yet beautiful words. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. This is unflinching faith that seems hardly possible for a man to say under those circumstances, unless he had been granted divine strength from outside of himself. A few chapters later, though, Job is cursing the day he was born. Tormented by grief and judgment, Job wants the darkness to simply overtake him. Yet somehow, his faith persists even if it does begin to flinch. He does not take his wife's advice to curse God and die. He stays put, despite his despair, trying to draw near to a God he cannot see. He draws near with complaints and questions, even with presumption as to his own innocence. Job is desperate for God to break the silence and give answers to his deepest questions. Confused, betrayed, tormented, and utterly despondent, Job had every reason to give in and let the storm swallow him up. In Matthew 14, Peter and the other disciples are also in the midst of a dark, troubling storm, a storm that Jesus, in fact, sent them into. After miraculously feeding the 5,000-plus crowd with a few loaves and a couple of fish, the disciples naturally did not want to leave Jesus' side. But he made them get into their boat and head across the Sea of Galilee on their own, while he dismissed the crowds and went up to the mountain to pray. Jesus purposefully went away from them. That is what Matthew, Mark, and John all emphasize in telling the story. Jesus sent the disciples away from himself. Meanwhile, with tired arms and trembling hearts, the disciples were alone in the dark. For hours that must have felt like days, all they could see and hear were the mighty waves crashing around them. In both stories, from the midst of the storm, God speaks. If faith comes by hearing, as our reading from Romans says, it would be awfully cruel of God to tell us that we must have faith if he did not speak in such a way that we could hear, if he did not come to us with his word to bring us the faith upon which our life depends. But this is just what these stories reveal. God comes. He speaks. God does not remain far off in a remote place above the storms we face. In Job's case, the word of God that comes to Job doesn't sound all that comforting or calming. Out of the whirlwind, God says, "Where were you, Job, when I formed the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you know. Were you the master architect who measured out the boundaries of the earth or sunk its bases into place? Did you determine how far the waters would stretch or prescribe borders to the land? Have you ever commanded the sun to rise or caused the dawn to know its place? Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea or walked on the recesses of the deep?" As we'll see in a few moments, Peter got a sense of what it might be like to sink to the depths of the sea, and he realized it would not go well for him. God, the creator of heaven and earth, hurls Job against the infinite with this series of questions, the obvious answer to all of them being no. Job is a finite man. He stands on the creature side of the creator-creature divide. He has absolutely no control or power over the creation of the universe. Like weather forecasters today, he does not have the ability to fully understand, determine, or manage the cosmos or its meteorological changes. Neither does Job have the ability to reason out or fully understand the deep questions which vex his heart day and night. God's word comes to Job in this exact place as balm to his wounds. Job doesn't get all of his doubts or fears straightened out. His questions go largely unanswered. But he encounters the maker of heaven and earth, who knows the end from the beginning, and speaks to Job personally. It's as if God is saying to Job, I am much greater and more powerful than you have courage to believe. I have formed things beyond your imagining, and yet I have come to visit you, Job. I have come to talk to you as a true friend. I have come to be near to you in this tumultuous storm that you neither asked for nor deserved. I have come to you, and despite what your friends say, you are not forgotten by me. I will not remove my steady gaze from you, and I will give you the faith that you need to go on trusting me. The word of the Lord that came to the disciples, fearing for their lives, also came in an unmistakable and also unforeseen way. It was not the quick word that they had probably hoped for, a word that simply told the storm to hush and be still. Similar to Job, the disciples grew more terrified before they were ever calmed. As if the waves weren't enough, they now saw a creature walking on top of them, who they assumed was a ghost. No human being can walk on water, even when it's still, let alone storm-tossed waves. It was a bad nightmare that only grew worse. Immediately, Matthew tells us, immediately Jesus spoke to them. He said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." And you'd think that would have been enough. You'd think that just the sound of Jesus' voice would have been comforting to them after hours of hearing nothing but waves crashing against their boat, their oars slapping the unruly waters. But then again, it must be quite difficult to hear from someone walking on water, Jesus or not. Peter doesn't yet trust Christ's word, and his presence on the water still didn't register to his senses. How often is our faith weakened by fear in this way? We just need a little more assurance than what's been provided to us. This doubting of the word of God and wanting to add something to it is our age-old struggle. And of all the things that Peter could have asked for to ensure that it really was Jesus speaking, I cannot, for the life of me, figure out why Peter asked what he did. If it's you, Lord, tell me to come out to you on the water. I think if I was doubting in that moment, I might have just come up with something like, Lord, tell me, how many loaves and fish did it take to feed all of those people today? Or, Jesus, could you just please command this wind to stop? Peter has another idea, though. If it's really you, Lord, tell me to come out there with you. He's wavering between faith and fear, and so he asks a question with a rather absurd condition. Whether it's a foolish question or not, Jesus actually stoops to Peter and does exactly what he asks. Come, Jesus simply replies. And that word, come, transforms Peter, and so he takes a step. Defying the humanly possible, Peter begins to move towards Jesus on the water. Then fear takes hold of him again, and he begins to sink. But the fear is still somehow commingled with faith, because Peter manages to cry out, Lord, save me! Then Matthew uses that word, immediately, again. Immediately, we are told, Jesus reaches out his hand to catch Peter. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Jesus asks. The two of them together presumably walk on the waves until they get back into the boat. I'm not sure why Jesus didn't just end the storm right away, when they were still out there on the water. but he waits a little while longer, perhaps strengthening Peter's trust in him as he puts one foot in front of the other, and Jesus ushers him back into the boat. The wind finally stops, and the disciples confess in awestruck worship, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The fear subsides with worship, with recognition of who Jesus is and who he is with them and for them. For Job, the story ends in worship and praise too. In the final chapter of the book, Job repents and says, "I know that you can do all things, God. No plan of yours can be thwarted." However sarcastic or harsh God's questions sounded to Job, they were kind. God's kindness is what leads us to repentance, Romans says. And Job did repent of his presumption, of his desire to understand what only belongs to the mind of the Creator God. He is praised by the Apostle James for his steadfastness, though much of his life didn't look all that steadfast. He was an emotionally disturbed and hurting man who kept on fighting to trust, even though the reinforcements on every side told him to walk away. Peter, too, was exalted as the rock upon whom the church would be built. And this was despite a lot of stumbling, including a series of outright denials that he even knew Jesus. The two stories reveal to us that we followers of Jesus are often vacillating between faith and a distinct lack of it. Job and the disciples are not strangers to the difficulties of trusting a Savior who cannot be seen with natural eyesight, a Savior who at times seems terrifyingly far away from the confusing circumstances of our lives. But the beautiful reality magnified in both storm stories is that God knows and sees us, and he does not tire of drawing close to us even when our faith grows dim. Out of the whirlwind of his love and mercy, he comes and speaks. He reaches out his hands and lifts us again and again so that we do not sink. I don't quite know what might be testing your faith today, or what storms may be brewing around you. There is probably something that is provoking each one of us to doubt the Lord's goodness or nearness. Or perhaps, like Job, we are tempted to doubt that the Lord, who is in control over the measurements of creation, is in control over, and even tenderly cares about, the particular circumstances of our lives. The good news is this: no matter what might be stirring up our fears and doubts today, the same God who spoke to Job and to the disciples is present with us. He who permits the storms, and even sometimes leads us right into them, he is speaking to us with his steadying voice, telling us that he is in the midst of them with us. We don't have the great benefit of Jesus' hand physically reaching down to grab us, but we do have his strong word that gives us faith to cling to him as he spiritually grabs hold of us. Do not be afraid. His word is not powerless. It will accomplish what he intends. He speaks to you today, even through an audio recording. He will continue to reach out to you with his outstretched hands, opening your ears so that you can hear him speak. And while our grip on him might be frail and flimsy, do not be afraid. His grip on us is strong and sure. To him alone be all glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I pray thee, never.
Profess the faith of the Church with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Holy God, speak to us out of the whirlwind of this life. You know how we are battered and tossed around by the winds of change, the secular culture in which we live, and the pressures to conform to the ways of the world. Strengthen our resolve to follow Jesus in obedience to your will, and open our ears to hear you calling our names and sending us in yours. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, your creation is such a magnificent work of art. Help us to appreciate your handiwork and to stand in awe of all that you have formed. Let us delight in all the species of plants and animals and marvel at the sight of mountains and seas as we praise your name in all the earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Healing God, we ask your tender care to be with those who are suffering this day, in mind, body, or spirit. You know the needs of each person you have made, even before we do ourselves. Please attend to the needs of all who are in trouble, facing trials, or are struggling with sickness. We remember especially Sally Schultz's brother-in-law, Wolfgang Schultz, as he recovers from his surgery. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Faithful Lord, you continually tell your people, do not be afraid, and yet we struggle with fear of many forms. Help us to put our complete trust in you, that we would have peace and courage even when we are afraid, and that trusting in you, we would have the sure confidence of your abiding strength and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.